the city. Back of my neck getting dirt and gritty. Been down, isn't it a pity? Doesn't seem to be a shadow in the city. All around, people looking half dead, walking on the sidewalk hotter than a match head.
Well, it's going to be hotter than a match. It's going to be another hot one, whether you are in the city or the country today. Here's hoping you'll be able to stay comfortably cool somewhere. Good morning. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It's coming up on 8 minutes past 6 o'clock on this Tuesday, July the 19th. We are going to discuss new research that compares health factors in all of the counties in the United States. And it comes to some interesting conclusions about how healthy it is to live in a city compared to a suburb or a rural area. And you might be surprised by the results. We will welcome your questions and views for our guest expert who directed the project. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page and follow us on Twitter at Joy Cardine Show. Our guest is Dr. Patrick Remington, Professor and Associate Dean of Public Health at UW-Madison. He is also the Director of the County Health Rankings. He joins us by telephone. Good morning.
Good morning.
So we're going to have, before we get into the County Health Rankings Project, let me ask you just a little bit about this heat wave that we are in the midst of. The heat index was 127 degrees near Prairie du Chien yesterday. And we're going to have triple-digit heat indices through much of the state today. That can't be healthy.
Well, certainly not. This reminds us of the importance of our environment, not only the things that predict heat, like global warming, but also just changes in the weather patterns from day to day. And there are differences between urban areas and places in southern Wisconsin and other places in the rest of the state. So I think it's really important to pay attention to not only how you're feeling, but also the environment in which you're staying. This is clearly a health problem that can be prevented, but you have to be on the lookout.
What are those differences between some of the urban areas and the rest of the state?
Well, obviously, in an urban area, many of the smaller communities are heat sinks, that the hot weather causes the pavement and the buildings to become very hot, and they don't lose heat during the night, so that it's not so much that it's hot for a few hours, but it's going to be hot for almost an entire week. In rural areas next to lakes or in shaded areas, there may be a breeze, and those subtle differences in the micro environment can make huge differences in how people react to the heat.
Well, so at least in the case of this this week-long heat wave, it might be a little more comfortable and healthier to be in the country than it is in the city.
This may be an example where, unlike some of our other findings in the county health rankings, living in a rural community might actually be healthier. But again, as you pointed out, the heat index in a rural community was incredibly high. So I think it's just important to be practical, to be safe. And in particular, watch out for folks, the very young, the very old, who may be homebound and unable to get out or get to an air-conditioned place. This is a time when a community can come together and not only think about individuals, but everybody in the community. We don't want to repeat what happened in 1995, where there were well over 100 deaths in this state, many of them preventable if people had just taken reasonable precautions.
Yeah, that is just astounding that there were so many deaths. And I talked to a guest yesterday who said that these heat kills more people than many other things, and we don't think of it like that. Indeed, I think your study points out too that if wherever you live, city versus country, it's if you're very poor that it can also affect your health. For instance, in a heat wave like this, if you don't have air conditioning, that's going to be a factor.
Well, not only air conditioning where you live, but air conditioning where you work or within your community. Also, I think it's a question of having some connection in your community, people who are isolated may not be able to get out. They may not understand the tremendous effects of the heat on their own health. Dehydration can creep up quickly on an elderly person, and so I think communities that stay connected, that have good social networks, that have home care being provided, are going to fare this much better in this heat wave than communities where people are isolated and living alone.
Well, I'm very happy to report that unlike yesterday, the air conditioning appears to be working at the WPR studios, and yesterday we had it was very, very muggy, and it was like a sauna in here, and apparently the chillers were repaired, and we are somewhat comfortable here at Vilas Hall on the UW-Madison campus, which was not the case yesterday. Well, let's talk about the County Health Rankings Project. What is that exactly?
Well, for many years, we've known that the health of individuals is affected not only by their own behaviors and things that you do, your lifestyle, your individual choices, but also by the health of the environment where you live. If you live in a healthy place, it's much easier to practice healthy lifestyles. Even, for example, this heat wave, the effects of the heat wave are not just based on your own individual practices, but based on where you live. So we started measuring all of the different factors in a community in 2003, and we put out a report that compared the health of Wisconsin's 72 counties, and we ranked them from the healthiest, tended to be the suburbs in Wisconsin, to the least healthy, which were small rural areas, also the inner city of Milwaukee and Menominee County, which is an Indian reservation in northeast Wisconsin. We did this for 6 years, refining the methods of measuring the entire health of a community. And then the Robert Wood Johnson Foundation heard about our report and asked us to do that for all counties, over 3,000 counties in the nation. And in 2010, we issued our first report ranking every county in every state. This last year, at the end of March, we repeated it for a second time, and what we found is that there's tremendous interest in not only individual health, but in the health where people live. So for the first time, now you can go to a website. It's pretty easy. It's just countyhealthrankings.org, all one word, County Health Rankings, and you will see a map of the United States. You can click on it, your state, and then you can click on your county, and see what we call a annual checkup. Just as a patient would go in and have a checkup with a doctor, this is a way to see how your county ranks on not only the health outcomes, things like death and disease rates, but also those factors that support or create a healthy place, health care, things like behaviors, the social or economic environment, and the physical environment. So with one click, you can see how healthy your community is to your neighbors or other counties in the state.
And while there's a lot to talk about here, the study generally finds that people who live in urban areas stay fitter and live longer than people who live in rural areas?
Well, we've known for a long time that place matters, that where you live can affect your health. Last week, a Wall Street Journal article came out that compared generally the health of three different places, inner cities, suburbs, and rural communities. And generally, those people living in the suburbs live longer, healthier lives than people living in inner cities. And on the other end of the spectrum, people living in some rural areas tend to live shorter lives and have a lower quality of life. Now, I have to emphasize that this is a general finding. It doesn't apply to everybody in those communities. You can have very unhealthy people living in a suburb, and you can have some of the healthiest people living in a rural area. But in general, we find that rural areas tend to be poor, tend to have less access to health care. Kids have higher rates of obesity and are more likely to drink sodas and sugar-sweetened beverages. And so these general findings also apply in the state of Wisconsin.
We are talking about who's healthier, someone who lives in a rural area, a suburb, or a city, and why. 1-800-642-1234, 1-800-642-1234, or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or on Twitter at Joy Cardine Show. Checking our weather forecast for today. Well, here we go again. Excessive heat warnings for northwest and west central Wisconsin through Wednesday. Excessive heat warnings for southwest, central, and portions of southern Wisconsin through Thursday. It's going to be partly sunny, hot, and humid today. Some morning fog, especially in western Wisconsin, with a chance of thunderstorms in western and south central Wisconsin. Highs today will be in the upper 80s in the northeast to the mid-90s in the west and southwest. And again, with the heat index, triple-digit heat indices today in much of the state. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine. It's 20 minutes past 6 o'clock on this Tuesday, July the 19th. Coming up later today, it's At Issue with Ben Marins. After 5, traditionally the ideal family consisted of two children, a boy and a girl. But according to Ben's guest, after 5, many parents are now choosing to raise a single child. You can join in the conversation about the myths and benefits of raising an only child during At Issue with Ben Marins between 5 and 6 this afternoon. We are talking about our health and research that finds that people who live in the suburbs are healthier generally than those who live in rural regions of the country. We're discussing why this is and wondering if you agree with these findings or if you have questions about this study and the factors that lead to health, whether you live in the city or the country. 1-800-642-1234. 1-800-642-1234. Or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. We are talking with Dr. Patrick Remington, who is a professor and associate dean of public health at UW-Madison. He is also the director of the County Health Rankings Project, which is a research project that compares health measures and outcomes and factors in every U.S. county. And I'm wondering, Dr. Remington, I think a lot of people just have the thought that people who live in rural areas would fare much better in research like this. After all, we think of, you know, the country as being clean, you know, less pollution, less stress, and therefore healthier. But that's not necessarily the case?
Well, not necessarily the case. You're right. With respect to the physical environment, rural areas are generally quite healthy. Less air pollution. Oftentimes water is cleaner and less polluted, although at the top of the hour, we heard a story about Adams County, about concern about runoff from a dairy farm that may affect water quality. So I think these general findings are that the physical environment, or I should say the natural environment, air quality, is better in rural areas. But then you think about how roads are designed. It turns out that most car fatalities happen in rural areas. People drive faster, further. Roads are dangerous, so that aspect of the environment is actually more dangerous. And finally, most people today spend time indoors, and so the idea of the turn of the century bucolic nature of a rural area no longer really holds. Kids spend a lot of time watching television on their computers, and so that environment really isn't doesn't differ much from city to rural area. And in fact, we see higher rates of obesity in kids living in rural areas. It may well be because they spend more time indoors and not out exercising.
They're not not out working on the farm?
Less likely to be today than even a few decades ago. Farms now are bigger, they have more automation, and more of the jobs can be done without exercise. And so there's, you know, the jobs that kids used to have 10 or 20 years ago in rural areas have less activity and really don't involve as much outdoor exercise.
Yeah, I don't know if you found this in your research, but I recall also hearing that in rural areas, kids that maybe didn't have a whole lot of stuff to do were turning to drinking in the cornfield, alcohol.
Well, you certainly see binge drinking is epidemic, not just in the U.S., but particularly in Wisconsin and particularly in rural areas. It's an aspect of our culture, and it's also an aspect of kids just growing up. And it's one of the leading causes of morbidity and mortality in the state. Those factors can vary from family to family and from community to community. And the what we call the downstream effects, the health effects of binge drinking can last an entire lifetime. If there's an injury associated with binge drinking, people can be disabled for their entire life. But it also starts a pattern of substance abuse related to mental health issues that are sometimes very hard to undo later in life.
Yeah. And while farms might be more automated now, what about things like farm accidents and farm chemicals, things that are used for crops?
Well, it's true. The sense of the farming community from the turn of the century, 100 years ago, was that it was all natural. And today we know that to get crops to grow, there's a tremendous use of pesticides. We see herbicides like atrazine in well water in many rural communities, in particular where corn is grown. And this is a pesticide that is not intended to go into the drinking water, but ends up there. And so we don't know the long-term effects of being exposed to pesticides and other chemicals in runoff. We do know that people in rural areas, perhaps because of exposure to pesticides and farm chemicals, have higher rates of certain cancers. So that's one aspect of the environment. Again, with good stewardship, we can keep the water supply clean. We can use chemicals wisely and keep them out of the drinking water.
We have a number of callers. Let me go to Brian in Wausau. Hello, Brian.
Good morning. I was wondering if you just took a look at the correlation between wealth and health rather than location and health, if there would be a greater correlation between simply wealth and health?
Well, that's a great question. I like to think about sort of four camps on people's opinion about what determines the health of a community. There's first the camp that says you need good health care, and a place with great health care, lots of doctors, is going to be a healthier place. There's the second camp that thinks that it's all about individual decisions and healthy behaviors. All you have to do is eat right and exercise and reduce your stress, and that will be the healthiest place. There's the third group that thinks about the environment, the chemicals, the air quality, and the physical or built environment. And then there's the final group, as you mentioned, that thinks about the importance of social and economic factors, having a good education, having a job, having hope for the future, that you'll be able to have a job and live well in retirement. And, of course, these four different opinions are all right. Healthy communities require all of these things to be in line. But as you point out, without a strong and vibrant economic basis, a foundation for a community, it's really hard to have a healthy community. So we like to consider the social and economic factors, good educational outcomes, low rates of unemployment, safety in the community, all those cultural, social, economic factors are really the foundation of a healthy community, and it is highly correlated with death and disease rates. Not that you can't have a healthy place that's also poor, but it's just very difficult.
Yeah. And that can explain, the general results that the inner city and the rural areas fare the poorest, whereas the suburbs fare the best.
Without a doubt. The correlation between wealth and health is strong, and it's persistent across within a community, across communities, and even across the world. But there are exceptions. Some of the wealthiest suburbs in Wisconsin have the worst air pollution. They have high rates of violence. They'll have even high rates of substance abuse. So, and some of the rural areas that are the poorest will have a great physical environment, great recreational opportunities, low rates of sexually transmitted diseases, for example. So there are some exceptions, but it's a it's one of the most important findings from our research is across the nation, the strong correlation between wealth, education, and income, and health outcomes.
We are talking about research that finds that people who live in suburban areas in particular are healthier and live longer than those who live in rural regions. And we're wondering why this is, and we're welcoming your questions for our guest, Dr. Patrick Remington, professor and associate dean of public health at UW-Madison. He is the director of the County Health Rankings Project, which ranks counties in throughout the entire United States regarding health outcomes and health factors. We have posted the health rankings on our Facebook page and our website at WPR.org if you'd like to take a look as to where you rank. Stay with us. We'll continue talking about this after the news. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network. City versus country. Who is healthier? This headline on a recent Wall Street Journal article caught our eye, and it turns out the report is based on research led by our guest this hour, Dr. Patrick Remington, the Associate Dean of Public Health at UW-Madison. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It is now 6:36 on this Tuesday, July the 19th. We are talking about the health factors in cities, in suburban areas, and in rural areas, and wondering why it is that rural areas tend to fare poorly when it comes to health outcomes. And we're welcoming your thoughts and questions at 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. In general, this article says that people who live in suburban areas fare the best. The urban areas, though, are doing well. The residents are living longer and staying fitter. There is less stress in rural regions, but still health outcomes are not the greatest. We're wondering why all this is, and we're welcoming your thoughts for our guest, Dr. Patrick Remington, who is a professor and associate dean of public health at UW-Madison, and he is the director of the County Health Rankings Project, which compares health measures and factors and outcomes in every United States county. And our next caller is Clarence in Watertown. Hello, Clarence.
Good morning. Calling from the dairy barn bright and early this time of morning. I really think that research is horribly flawed. We've raised our kids here on the farm, and our kids didn't get into any kind of drinking, binge drinking, or anything like that, worried about sex, until they got to UW-Madison. And we were worried for them about them for a little while because, God, if they keep drinking like that here on campus. And yeah, they said, well, you don't have to worry about driving drunk in Madison. You can crawl from bar to bar.
Well, so you're saying that they were fine in the country living.
Oh, my God. There's an awful race out here in the country for people to get 2-3 acres, you know, and get out of the city, get to the country, where they can have, you know, a house out in the rural area, and, you know, get the kids out of city. We had one of the ladies, our full-time employee, and she was very happy to have a job out here on the farm because it got her 3 girls away from town, away from, you know, the friends in, you know, what are they doing there? Where are they, you know? And she was happy to have the job out here.
Well, city living is no utopia either, Dr. Remington.
Well, I think the caller makes a really good point, is that when you find general associations, for example, suicide rates are higher in rural communities. Motor vehicle crash rates are higher in rural areas, as is binge drinking overall. But that doesn't apply to an individual family. You can have a family that has a strong connection with the kids and strong beliefs about responsible behavior, such as not binge drinking, and good mental health issues. So you want to make sure, just because we see these general findings related to where you live, that it doesn't apply to individuals. And that's an aspect of our research in epidemiology that's very important. Don't take general findings that are seen in populations and apply them to individuals. So, but he makes a very good point. Place is important, so that the effects of colleges on young people's behaviors can be tremendous. We have a problem in this state. It's not just UW-Madison. It's almost every college campus today has a culture where binge drinking, and not just one or two drinks, but drinks that cause significant intoxication, it's the norm. And that's a problem that is vexing for college administrators and health providers in colleges. It's not just a fun night for entertainment. It can be extremely dangerous, and even more importantly, lead to a pattern of substance abuse later in life. So, caller is absolutely right. There are important factors related to health, and sometimes when kids move into these environments, they're exposed to that culture, and it affects them.
Thank you very much, Clarence, for the call. Sarah emails, as a person living in the city, I notice a tremendous difference between lifestyles of those who can access many things on foot, bicycle, or with public transportation, and those living outside the city who are completely dependent upon transportation by car, which keeps them from moving their bodies. People move to the rural areas to be able to afford a house, but become dependent upon a car. Costs directed toward transportation and fast meals to allow for busy schedules. Sarah brings up an interesting point about in the city, maybe we aren't using our cars quite as much as we do in the rural areas.
Well, all you have to do is go to communities, for example, in Europe. Some American communities have designed these places where it's actually hard to drive a car. In fact, Europe now has a policy where the design of the environment is intended to make cars harder to use and to promote alternative transportation. Even though some cities in Wisconsin and in the U.S. have better transportation than others, we're a long ways from where we could be to design a community so that it's as healthy as it can be. One of the biggest changes in my career has been the increasing awareness of the importance of how we design communities. The last 20 or 30 years, we've been designing communities so that people have to drive from point A to point B, even though it's maybe a half mile. Because the streets don't have sidewalks, it's not safe to get out of your car. In the community where I live, we don't have safe routes for kids to get to school, for people to get to work. And so people hop in the car, making it even more dangerous. So that we have to think about these investments, not just for today or tomorrow, but really for the next generation. How can you design a community so that it's not only a safe and healthy place to live, but also more promoting for healthy behaviors. And some cities are doing this much better than others.
Yeah, and as you mentioned in our first half hour, those who live in rural areas are more likely to be involved in and die in traffic accidents.
And again, some of those designs, the Department of Transportation is doing a much better job of connecting the data on car crashes. It used to be that data on car crashes was collected by the health department, and yet the Department of Transportation designed the roads. Now they're working together so that that information on places that turn out to be designed so they're not very safe can be connected immediately to road design, and the engineers come in and change those unsafe places to make them much safer.
Yeah. What about, though, Dr. Remington, the problems of crime in the city that we don't associate with rural areas?
Well, there's no question in our research that when you look across the nation and even in Wisconsin, that rates of violent crime are much higher in urban areas. And that has an effect not only on the people affected by the crime directly, but also by the sense of safety and really mental health issues for the rest of the community. It's hard to put into practice the advice about walking and getting out and being active when you don't feel safe in your community. That's a good example of how the environment in which you live can affect your own individual behavior and your own ability to put into practice what you've been hearing. Get out, exercise, walk with friends and family. And yet if your community is not safe, or you perceive it not to be safe, then you'll be less likely to engage in those healthy habits. So, again, individual behaviors are very important, but the social fabric, the social context in which you live is even more important.
Daniel in Rice Lake is with us now. Hello, Daniel.
Hello. Up here in the northwoods of Wisconsin, Washburn County, an alarming number of people I interact with are addicted to tobacco and alcohol. Are people who live in rural areas more likely to smoke tobacco than those who live in the suburbs?
Well, that's a great question. The epidemiology of cigarette smoking has changed dramatically and will continue to change. What we've seen in the last 50 years is that the smoking rates have declined among people with higher education, with better jobs, and who make more money. The policies that we've put into place have been more successful in this population. We haven't won the battle on tobacco. We've simply shifted the success from the overall population just to the people who are in higher socioeconomic groups. So in rural areas in particular, in places where there's more poverty, you see high rates of substance abuse. And really, smoking has now become a problem of the lower class, and in rural areas especially. So you'll find higher rates of disease, lung cancer, heart attacks in people who smoke, and those people are more likely to live in rural areas and to have less education and less likely to be employed. It calls for more action to involve providers, to involve education in schools, so that we simply don't move smoking out of our range of view. Now that you can't smoke in bars and restaurants, most people think the problem's gone away, but as the caller points out, it has not. It's simply been concentrated in pockets of poverty around the state.
We are talking about how different health factors exist in the city, the suburbs, and the country. And we're looking at some of those factors and wondering if you have any questions about this research that compares health factors in every United States county. It's the County Health Rankings, and our guest directs this project, Dr. Patrick Remington, Professor and Associate Dean of Public Health at UW-Madison. What do you think is the biggest upside or downside when it comes to your health and where you live? 1-800-642-1234, or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or on Twitter at Joy Cardine Show. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine. It's 10 minutes before 7 o'clock on this Tuesday, July the 19th. Coming up after 7, we'll talk with a guest who says that the scandal surrounding Rupert Murdoch's media company will spread to the U.S. and that it brings up wider issues of the concentration of media power in the hands of large corporations. That's coming up after 7. Quick check of the weather. Partly sunny, hot, and humid today. Expect some morning fog, especially in western Wisconsin. Chance of thunderstorms in western and south central Wisconsin. Highs today in the upper 80s in the northeast to the mid-90s in the west and southwest. And excessive heat warnings continue for northwest, west central, southwest central, and portions of southern Wisconsin. We are talking about our health and how our health might be affected by the city or county that we live in. Dr. Patrick Remington is our guest, professor and associate dean of public health at UW-Madison, who directs the County Health Rankings Project. And before we go back to the phones, Dr. Remington, maybe just in a recap here, what are the healthiest counties in Wisconsin and why?
Well, in Wisconsin, the healthiest county is the county with the longest life and less disease, or the best quality of life, and that's Ozaukee County. It's a suburban county north of Milwaukee. In general, the healthiest counties are located in the suburbs of Milwaukee, Washington, Waukesha counties, but also include the counties in northwest Wisconsin, like St. Croix and Pierce counties, suburbs, really suburbs of the Twin Cities, and some counties in the south, like Dane County. Also, the center part of the state, Marathon and Wood counties, are quite healthy. At the other end of the spectrum, the counties along the northern border with Michigan, the Upper Peninsula, tend to be the least healthy rural counties, along with counties around Adams and Juneau County. And then, of course, the counties with large urban areas from Kenosha, Racine, and Milwaukee counties tend to be at the other end of the spectrum.
And our next caller is Mary in Wauwatosa. Hello, Mary.
Hi there, Joy and Dr. Remington. I've heard you speak in the past. I was wondering how you see changes in the future with return of all of our veterans who are coming back with not only the physical issues that will impact upon their ability to work, have health insurance, and so forth, but with the PTSD, which is increasing the amount of homelessness in both men and women in both and in rural. It's not a suburb problem, but it certainly is a rural and a urban problem, and it is increasing in great magnitudes.
Yeah. Any thoughts on that, Dr.
Well, Rangin? I think this points to a general issue, which is our measure of the health of a community is I like to compare it to a Polaroid snapshot, or a view from 30,000 feet. We have 25 to 30 measures that we use. The reason we pick them is they address the broad factors which contribute to health and a few of the important health outcomes, but it's not everything about a community. What we recommend communities do is, once you have a sense of the overall health of your community, is to drill down and to take a fine resolution photograph, or look at the ground level of the health factors. Homelessness is a good example. That's not really measured in our county health rankings, but it's an important factor for the health of the community. Issues of mental health, not only post-traumatic stress syndrome, but depression and other mental health issues, are incredibly important in a community. So this is really the first step. We like to think of it as a call to action, to pay attention to how healthy your community is. But the next step is really to dig even deeper to find out, are there particular things in your community that are important health factors and things that need to be addressed?
Thank you, Mary. Sylvia in Amory is with us now. Hello, Sylvia.
Yes, good morning.
Morning.
Thank you. I was wondering if there had been, if the research had seen any kind of correlation between church-going habits and health habits. Out here in Amory, which is a farming community, among the churchgoers, you tend to see, at least I've observed, less tobacco use and alcohol use. And I was just wondering if there was something in the study.
We don't really address that specifically, although when you go across the nation, we do find the state of Utah. There's another parallel study done comparing the health of entire states, and Utah is one of the healthiest states in the nation, most related to the health habits. They have some of the lowest rates of smoking and alcohol use in the nation. And certainly related to the religious teachings of the of LDS and the Mormon faith, so that we are sure that these findings also occur in communities, but it's not the same as an entire state or entire counties in Utah. But again, it's not so much the reasons for that people engage in healthy lifestyles, church teachings and following the teachings of a church is one reason, but kids can learn this from their parents, can learn this in school, the importance of being active and avoiding substances like cigarettes and alcohol in excess. Those can be taught regardless of what setting kids are learning.
We just have a couple of minutes left. Based on this project, what lessons should we learn about making first, the country healthier and, or the countryside, rural areas healthier and cities for that matter?
Well, I think one of the major take-home messages is that I described the four sort of beliefs about how health is influenced, and the answer is it's not any one of those. It has to be all of them together. So individuals have to make the right choices and understand the importance of healthy lifestyle. But you also have to think about those other factors that make it easier to be healthy, the social and economic factor. Having good health care, access to affordable health care is incredibly important. And how we design the communities. People build roads and with or without sidewalks, but if you are involved in that process, you can influence the health of your entire community by thinking about designing a place that's healthy, about doing all the things to promote jobs and education, and down the road, your community will be healthier as a result.
In our final 30 seconds, maybe one last healthy message for all of us during this prolonged heat wave.
Well, again, I think this is just a test of this concept of it takes a village to raise a child, but it takes a village to raise a healthy village to raise a healthy child. So think about the effects of the environment on individuals, not just yourself, but your community, and reach out and help others who might need that help.
Thank you very much for being with us.
Thank you.
Dr. Patrick Remington, Professor Associate Dean of Public Health at UW-Madison. He led the County Health Rankings Project. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network.
I just adore a penthouse view. Darling, I love you, but give me Park Avenue.
The chores.
The stores.
Fresh air.
Times Square.
You are my wife.
Goodbye, city life.
Green air.